Bibles, please, for our first reading, Psalm 119. Some of you are listening. That's good. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 24. All right. Psalm 119, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Aleph. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Bet. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. O, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Gimel. Deal bountifully with Thy servant, that I may live and keep Thy word. Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not Thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto Thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from Thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept Thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but Thy servant did meditate in Thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Well, some of you may have never heard an introduction to Psalm 119 before. It is indeed the longest chapter of the Scriptures, if we can count the Psalms as chapters. Of course, the Bible, when it speaks of the Bible speaking of itself, speaking of the Psalms, don't speak of them as chapters. They speak of them as individual Psalms, right? And so Christ speaking, or Peter speaking, says, David himself saith in the second Psalm, right? It's not Psalms chapter 2, it's in the second Psalm. And that would be the more proper way of speaking about the Psalms in general. If the Psalms themselves, the all 150 of them, are what Luther called a little Bible or a compendium of the Scriptures, and I believe that to be the case, Psalm 119 would be a compendium of the Psalter. It is in microcosm what the Psalter is in large, and then what the Bible as a whole is in macrocosm. It's a small bit compared to the rest of the Psalter, and yet it is full of the same themes that the Psalter has, beginning as it does and ending as it does, and so on. It is also intended to be understood and used in a comprehensive fashion. It is a comprehensive book all by itself, Psalm 119 is. And the reason I say that is because it is a complete alphabetical psalm. There are many of the psalms in the Old Testament, in the Psalter, that have some kind of alphabetical arrangement. Psalm 119 has that in spades, beyond all the rest of the Psalms. There are 176 verses in Psalm 119, which works out exactly to 8 times 22. 8 times 22. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and there are 8 verses dedicated to each letter of the Hebrew alphabet in Psalm 119. So you heard me at the beginning say Aleph, the second Bet, the third Gimel, the fourth Dalet, and so on all the way unto Tav, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now what's significant about that is that, number one, it is the A to Z, right? It has a particular comprehensive feel because it is A to Z. I'm using A to Z, obviously, in the English alphabet, but it is Aleph to Tav, one end to the other. So there is a kind of comprehensive nature in Psalm 119. It comprehends, again, what the Psalter comprehends and then what the Bible comprehends, writ small in Psalm 119. Secondly, each of the 22 sections, divided into 8 verses, and this is where versification, we know, is inspired. Okay? Sometimes we don't know that. Sometimes the versification is not found in the original. Here it is. And every particular verse in each particular section begins with the Hebrew letter of that section. So 8 verses, each beginning with the letter Aleph. 8 verses, each beginning with the letter Bet. 8 verses, each beginning with the letter Gimel, and so on, all the way through these octets, one by one by one, 22 times, 8 times 22, 176 verses in Psalm 119. That's how it's arranged. So it is a psalm that is meant to be comprehensive, but also this arrangement works as a memory scheme for those Hebrew speakers that originally received Psalm 119. They could remember 8 verses better that all began with the same letter. They could remember 8 verses better that all began with Beth or Aleph or whatever that letter is. And so it is also a mnemonic device which teaches us, as some of you have already done, that the Psalter, the Psalms, especially Psalm 119, is built to be memorized. Okay? All right, so then what is the topic of Psalm 119? Well, par excellence, it is indeed, like we said, a small Bible. But specifically, Psalm 119 is the psalm that extols the law of God in all of its particulars and all of its connections. So there are 11 names that I was able to find that Psalm 119 uses for the law of God. 11 different names. Law, commandment, testimony, precept, word, way, statute, judgment, truth, faithfulness, righteousness. All of these are, in one sense or another, used as synonyms for the law of God in Psalm 119. Over and again in Psalm 119, we hear about the law of God, but not only that, we hear about meditating upon it. We hear about memorizing it, and we hear about living by it and keeping it. Of course, if we're going to be living by it and if we're going to be keeping it, what ought we to be doing then? We ought to be memorizing it and meditating upon it, right? So that our thoughts and then subsequently from our thoughts, our words and our deeds, right? Because what is in the heart comes out. So then as we memorize and meditate upon God's word, upon God's law, those are the things that flow out. Okay? So that's a brief introduction to Psalm 119. Like Psalm 1, Psalm 119 begins with Makarios, blessed, ashrei in the Hebrew. I say Makarios because that's the Greek word that Jesus used in Matthew chapter 5 when he said, blessed are the, and so on and so on and so on, with the Beatitudes. Notice, blessed are they. Ashrei. You remember the Hebrew name, one of the 12 tribes, Asher. That's where that comes from. Ashrei. Ashrei simply means blessed, happy, well-favored, these kinds of things. So, blessed are they. What is the first word of the Psalter in general in Psalm 1? Again, Ashrei. So, we are recapitulating. We're going back to the beginning here in Psalm 119. The same kind of thing. Okay? All right, so those who walk in the way of the Lord, those who keep His testimonies, those who seek Him with their whole heart, they are promised this ashrei, this blessing. Then the psalmist realizes in this first section, notice that he has not the strength in himself to keep himself in the way of the Lord. So he bewails his weakness and inability. He craves strength from the Lord to do what the Lord has commanded, and he asks for mercy and not to be forsaken. So again, we have grace, don't we? It is a psalm that speaks so much about the law of God, and yet it puts the law of God where it belongs, in the context of the grace of God. And then finally, in this first section, he has a strong hope of sanctification and a walking in obedience more and more. When I shall learn, when I have respect, I will be set at liberty. It's in these kinds of expressions that the psalmist tells us that he has a strong hope of learning how more and more to walk in God's ways. In the second section, he recognizes that we are in need of cleansing. He uses the term young man there, not because, young men, you're more liable to need cleansing than the rest, but a young man is the strong and vigorous one. And so if a young man in his strength and vigor needs cleansing, we all do. That's the point. Okay? So wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Taking heed is just another metaphor for hearing and obeying. Hearing and obeying. What is God's law given to us for? Is God's law given to us as something we should never strive towards, but treat it like some neat relic that we hang on the wall? You know, we see the Ten Commandments on the wall, and boy, that's really neat. We've got them on the wall. We don't want them on the wall. Not if we don't have them in our hearts. Not if we don't have them as frontless before our eyes. Not if we don't have them as that for which we strive day by day. That's the point, isn't it? And over and again, the psalmist writes, "Teach me thy commandments. Teach me thy statutes." And here, he recognizes the plight of us all, and that is that naturally, we do not know the commandments of God. Naturally, we're not given to the commandments of God. Naturally speaking, you know, we hear people all the time today talking about trusting their instincts. I hope not, because our instincts are not instincts toward the law of God. They are instincts, in many cases, away from the law of God. They're corrupted instincts, right? We've seen how instinct can hurt. The first night we set up the patio out in the backyard, I turn the lights on, the fans are running, and there's this bug. And he's flying up, and he's going up toward the light, and a little more, you know, his instinct is drawing him to the light. And he got there, and he recognized that that light was hotter than his little body could take. And then there's this smoke that comes out of the light. Instinct. Are your instincts good? Not necessarily. Right? Over and again we hear in Scripture that we are to be disposed, that the Lord would dispose us to obedience, dispose us to meditate, dispose us toward His commandments. Okay? So we recognize our natural ignorance and inability there. Then notice memorization is pressed in the second section. Right? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Some of us memorized that when we were 4 and 5 years old. It's good to memorize that. But the sentiment behind it means that that's not going to be the only thing we memorize. We're going to go on to memorize all kinds of things, right? And why ought we to memorize? What does memory work do for us? It begins to affect our thinking. And that's the kind of effect we want upon our thinking. Listen, somebody's going to brainwash you. Choose the right one. Okay? A friend of mine used to say, a friend of mine told me I was brainwashed. I said, yeah, but at least I chose who washed my brain. Choose the right foundation from which your thoughts are informed, from which your thoughts are grown up and given their structure. Choose the right foundation. Choose the Scriptures. All right, and then in the last section in Gimel, the third, Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Notice what bounty is. Bounty is not, you know, first of all, what does the word bounty mean? Well, isn't that that ship that had, you know, Fletcher Christian on it? Well, yes, but that's not the bounty we're talking about here. Okay, the bounty that he's talking about is, put colloquially, living large, right? Living abounding, bounty abounding. Okay, so we're abounding. And how do we abound in Scripture? What does it say here? Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live, and what? Keep thy word. That's what bounty is in the Bible. Jesus himself, while he walked on the face of the earth, talked about something that he called true riches. True bounty, if you will. All right, so then he says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, it's difficult to know in that particular verse, in that particular connection, if he's talking about the law as laws, statutes, judgments, and commandments, or if he's talking about the law for the Scripture as a whole. Okay? I'm thinking, because he's asking for understanding, that he's probably speaking of the Scripture as a whole, but that would also include learning how to live according to God's law. So both, I think, are there, so that we might have right doctrine and right practice. Orthodoxy, orthopraxy is how we put that in highfalutin theological terms. All right, so then he goes on and he says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Once again, the psalmist is broken over his own sin. His soul perhaps understands duty, but cannot attain it. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. So then there is the rebuke of the proud, and the psalmist asks to be delivered from that reproach and contempt. And then notice verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Here the word is seen as a remedy in times of persecution. A remedy in times of persecution, the word of God is. And finally, thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. You know what the word delight comes from, right? We talked about that when we were in Isaiah 58 studying the Sabbath. The word delight comes from that which is delectable. What does delectable mean? Well, some of you are probably thinking about a meal, right? And there are the things that are brought out that are dainty and delectable. They are things to be desired, right? Okay, so the psalmist says that the word of God is like that. It is something to be desired. How does he put it in Psalm 19? More to be desired than gold, right? All right, thus ends the reading then of the first 24 verses, the first three sections. And that'll be our plan. We'll do 3, 3, 3, 3. Of course, that comes out to 21. So we'll do 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 4. All right? Let's stand.